Good morning, and welcome to
Faith and Family,
KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman, your host of the show, Faith and Families, underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can check out their website and all that they have to offer. We have a link to Concordia on our website, kfuo.org. Well, this week on the show, we've been discussing the topic of adoption. We've heard stories from couples who have adopted children from both in the United States and from other countries as well. We've heard from experts on everything from how to adopt a child to legality issues and also suggestions on steps to take when considering adopting. Now, I want you to remember that you, our listeners, get to be a part of the show. Call in or email your questions and comments for our expert. You can call or email anytime during the show. The number's in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or out of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also give us an email at family@kfuo.org. So let's jump into today's discussion. We have an expert in the adoption field to share her knowledge with us. For over 25 years, Jan Shearer has worked in the field of adoption. She's been at Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri for 16 years after spending 20 years within the family court systems. She currently manages the child welfare programs for LFCS, a faith-based agency that provides pregnancy counseling and parenting support, adoption services, and foster care services statewide. LFCS is a licensed child placing agency in the state of Missouri and accredited by the Council of Accreditation for Children and Families. Jan is also the president of the Adoption and Foster Care Coalition of Missouri, and she's a licensed clinical social worker. And in 2004, she received a United States Department of Health and Human Services for Adoption Excellence Award for individual contribution. Jan, we are so honored to have such an experienced guest about adoption. So thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Family.
Thank you, Liz. It's an honor to be asked.
Well, we're very happy to have you here, and happy Friday, by the way.
It's a wonderful day.
Yes, we have beautiful sunshine and the end of our week. So, well, Jan, over the years, I'm assuming you have seen many changes when it comes to adoption. Tell us what adoption consisted of, say, 20 years ago compared to today.
Well, 20 years ago, it was pretty closed. The piece that used to be seen in movies when we were growing up where a family went, said, we want to adopt, a woman was sort of sequestered away and gave birth. The agency called the family and said, congratulations, you're going to be parents. In many situations, the woman, the birth mother, was told to go away, forget this. This is a wonderful thing you're doing, but it's not going to affect you any longer. And everything was pretty much closed. It was assumed that everybody would go on their merry way and everybody would live happily ever after. Today in adoption, that's really not the case. Birth mothers are, and birth fathers, if they're around and available, are very involved in the adoption process. Most of our birth mothers choose which family they want to parent their child. Most of the situations are have some degree of openness. Many, many of our families meet one another, and a lot of them have ongoing contact with one another. So it really has changed to be more open communication and just more control, pretty much as most of our society has changed. There is more control, there's more information being shared, and everybody is much more open about the issues in adoption and what the consequences of adoption are as well.
Well, I would imagine that technology has changed that as well with the internet and even social media.
It does, a lot. You know, birth mothers are frequently on the internet trying to find an appropriate agency or even searching for themselves. Many of our birth families are out there creating their profile, trying to find a situation that will allow them to be parents for the future. One of the good things about media is that people have more control. One of the bad things about media is you may not know what you're getting into. Just watching the television news this morning, I saw that there was a crime perpetrated from people answering Craigslist. And so when you're out on that social media, you don't know necessarily what you might be getting into. And that's where a reputable agency that's licensed and that has 145 experience, like Lutheran Family and Children's Services does, can come in very handy. It helps protect everyone's interest, and we really focus on the best interest of the child, both today and in the future.
Well, what about a couple who is considering adoption? What are some of those initial steps that they need to take?
Well, I think basically they first need to get an understanding about adoption. If somebody calls me and says, I don't know where to start, one of the first places I'll suggest is that they go to Adoptive Families, which is a magazine that's out there and pretty much every year puts out a how-to kind of manual. Here are some important things for you to know. It discusses the different types of adoption. It gives some frequently asked questions. It helps steer people, this is a good thing, this may not be good. I mean, the old adage, if it's too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. So that's one of the first places to start. And then to begin to look for your adoption providers, asking questions to make sure that the philosophy and the information that that comes with working with an adoption professional fits your family and fits where you and your family want to be in the future.
Well, earlier in the week on this show, we talked with someone who adopted two children from two different countries. We also talked with some people who adopted a child here in the United States, also someone that adopted an older child. And I understand these are different types of adoptions. I think it might be helpful to understand what is involved with each of them. Can you maybe tell us, I guess, what is a domestic adoption first?
A domestic adoption is pretty much what it says. It's a child who is found domestically. Intercountry adoption is a child who is found from a different country. In Missouri, both are regulated so that there are licensed child placing rules that govern both types of adoption. Intercountry adoption is also governed by the Hague Treaty on Intercountry Adoption. So there are very specific requirements that intercountry adoption needs to go through. And in April 1984, any child who is placed through an intercountry adoption will have to, the adoption will have to follow those rules and regulations. LFCS is Hague accredited, which is what we call it, which means that we have undergone the scrutiny and have become accredited to provide those services. A domestic adoption can take on many different areas. It can include a private agency adoption or a program adoption, which is an adoption where the birth mother and the adoptive families both are working with an agency. And through that agency, they become aware of one another, and a match, or the birth mother deciding on the adoptive family for the placement of that child, a match is made. There is also an independent adoption where the match between the birth parent and the adoptive parent is outside of an agency. There is foster care adoption or older child adoption, which is where the child has been adjudicated as abused or neglected, so that they have gone through a court process and their custody is held usually by the state. And then there are also relative adoptions, our grandparent adoptions, step-parent adoptions, and those are pretty much what they say they are, adoption by a relative, a step-parent, or a grandparent.
Now, adoption by a relative like that, what type of legal issues can arise with that?
Good question. All adoptions are a function of statute, so all of them occur because the law allows them to occur. So generally, all of the adoptions have to comply with the same law. The legal issues that can come up in relative adoptions usually are around the consent and just the responsibilities that are transferred from perhaps the birth parent to the grandparent or to the aunt and uncle. And then there are of course, social issues. Will that child be raised by a relative? What roles are sort of switched and changed? So does the birth mother now get considered as a sister, or is that birth mother really identified as the birth mother?
Right. Many things to look at. And I think it's safe to say that everyone, all of our listeners, has known someone, a woman that's either in high school, college, or even beyond, that's been faced with an unplanned pregnancy. The Lutheran Family and Children's Services has many ways that they support a pregnant woman. There's so many positive reasons for a woman to look into adoption. Jan, would you tell us some of those positive things?
Sure. I think that one of the first positives is looking at what's going to be best for yourself and for your child, not only today, but in the future. You know, what is your life going to look like? What is your child's life going to look like in the future? Am I ready and able to give this child everything that I want my child to have? So are you ready to raise a child and dedicate your life to this child? Are you going to have any help in raising this child? We all know that just everyday life takes more than yourself. It takes family. It takes friends. It takes a partner if you're blessed to have a husband or a wife. So are you going to be alone in this, or in times of trouble, is somebody going to be there to help you? What about your time? Do you have the time that it takes to raise a child? It takes a lot of time and a lot of money to raise the child. So are you at this point in your life prepared to devote the time, and do you have the money behind you to get that done? What kind of environment are you in? You know, is the possibility of an adoptive family a better way for you to make sure that your child gets everything that you want the child to have? And nowadays, most of the parents, if they are making an adoption plan, will continue to have information about that child. They will know that that child is helpful and successful, that they, you know, if there are challenges, they may be able to offer input. If a health challenge comes up, they're going to know it in most situations. So that there are many positives to adoption. And when a person comes to LFCS because they're in crisis because of their pregnancy, we help them sort of sort through that. We ask all of our mothers to answer those questions, because one way or the other, they have to know those answers. And if they decide to make a plan for adoption, we're there to help them with that.
Well, you're listening to Faith and Family on KFUO. We're talking with Jan Shearer, and she's been with the Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri for over 16 years. If you have a question or comment for her, or maybe you'd like to share your adoption story with us, give us a call, 800-730-2727, or email those questions and comments, family@kfuo.org. We'll be addressing those coming up here shortly. Now, as I said before, I think everyone knows a girl from high school or beyond who has found herself pregnant. What are some ways that we could be helpful to someone that we know, perhaps maybe in our church or at our work or a friend? How can we be helpful to someone who's facing an unplanned pregnancy?
Well, many of the things that we just talked about are questions that that can help a woman sort of sort out where she is and where she wants to go for her future and where what she wants for her child's future. So that's a really good place to start. I think one of the things that that is really hard for many people, I know that I have problems, how do I say something without letting any of my own preconceptions or opinions come through? How can I help ask some questions and cause some thought without being at all judgmental? Just giving sort of those things where, you know, you ask that question and somebody just mulls on it for a while and comes up with, you know, this may be a good thing, or did you consider this? I think one of the important things that we need to do is not overpromise, not underpromise, don't threaten, don't judge. Do what you can to help that woman come to her own decision and make a very beneficial decision for herself and for her child.
Those are all very good points. Well, to a young girl, maybe she's just found out that she's pregnant, and maybe she isn't even sure about adoption or what she wants to do, but she knows she's going to give this child life. LFCS has a brochure. It has 10 questions to ask yourself when considering adoption. Jan, number one is, are you ready to raise a child? How would you say this is perhaps the most important one of all?
Well, in life, any given time, we can feel out of control. We can feel as though, you know, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. And if you can't take care of yourself, it's like being on an airline. They tell you that the first thing you need to do is put the oxygen mask on yourself.
Right.
So if you're not able to take care of yourself, how are you going to have the knowledge, the support, the time and the energy to devote to that child? So that's a really good place to start. Am I drowning? Because if I'm drowning, I'm probably not going to be able to keep my child above water.
Put very well. Number two on that brochure says, it's how much time will you actually have to devote to this child? Do you think this is a common misconception for a young girl that finds herself pregnant?
I think it can be. You know, a lot of women that we work with are told by their friends and their family, oh, it's no big deal, I'll be there to help you. And I'm sure that all those friends and family really have that intent. They want to be there and to provide. But it's different when somebody who lives 30 minutes away is saying, oh, call me anytime, as opposed to when you're up all night rocking a colicky child and then you have to go to school the next day.
Right.
One of the things that we do is really map out the pros and the cons. What does it take? If you Google how much does it take to raise a child, it seems like every day that cost goes up. And that's a challenge.
The next thing on the list says, where will my child grow up? What does a woman need to think about in that area?
You know, what's my neighborhood like? Do I feel safe? Will my child feel safe? Is there a place for them to grow, to learn, to have fun? In my neighborhood, are there other adults that are going to be there? You know, I know that when I was coming up, I knew all my friends' mom and dads, and you know, I knew that if something was going to happen, I not only had a safe place to go, but, you know, my next-door neighbor would probably be talking to my mom that night, and there might be something, you know, that I wouldn't want her to hear from my neighbor. Just, is this life that I'm living, in the place that I'm living, is that something that I want for my child? That's a good question to ask.
Right, and you're going to be passing that on to another generation. That is it worth doing that, I guess.
That's a great way to put that.
Number four says, what environment will my child be raised in? How is this important for a young mother to think about this?
You know, I think that we all look at people that we know and say, oh my gosh, that must be so hard to live with. And if it's hard for you to live with, whether it's somebody who is not supportive, somebody who works all the time, somebody who has, you know, health issues or life judgment issues, that makes a difference in how you develop your life and how your child is going to develop. So is this house, are these people that I want to be around? You know, a lot of times it's we will work with a mother and she will say, you know, my family said that they'll help me, but I want something different from my child. You know, I'm doing okay, but I'm just doing okay. I want something better for my baby.
Right, and what a selfless act of love, though, that mother has the opportunity for that child.
You know, that's a great point. I can remember when I first started working in adoption, God knows how many years ago, one of the comments that I would receive would be, how can somebody do that? How can they give away their child? Which was always an interesting reaction to me because the first thing that I would say is, how can somebody be that loving and that selfless to make a plan that puts that child above their own selfish needs?
Right. Earlier this week, we had on our show Deborah and Jennifer, and Deborah had given her child up for adoption because she loved her that much and she wanted a better life for her. And then they reconnected later in life. And it's just a beautiful story of love and how much she really loved her child. And she just wanted what was absolutely best for her.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that we do when we talk with mothers or with people who call and say, my girlfriend or my wife or my daughter is pregnant, and she's talking about giving away her baby, what adoption is a very prayerful and planned, selfless decision to make a choice to give your child a better life with a family that you may have input in. It's not giving anything away. It is making a plan to give more.
Absolutely. And like you said, that in this day and time, it's not that you're completely cut off. It's not as common anymore to be completely cut off.
Exactly.
We just have a little bit of time until we go to our first break, but the next one on the list says, will this child have two parents? And this might not be uncommon. So why is this significant?
Well, I think that research shows that a two-parent family has more advantages than a single-parent family. In most situations, a two-parent family has a higher income. They have more opportunities because there are two people to sort of carry that load. Frequently, there are then two extended families.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue that discussion. We'll be talking with Jan of Lutheran Family and Children's Services. We'll be right back here on KFUO. You're listening to Faith and Family. And welcome back to Faith and Family at KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman. We're discussing adoption this week and the joys, the processes, the challenges, all of that that comes with adoption. We'll have a link to our to Lutheran Family and Children's Services on KFUO.org, so you can check that out and all the things that they have to offer. Now, we would love for you, our listeners, to get in on this discussion, especially this second half of our show. So if you have a question or comment for Jan, or maybe you'd like to share a story that you have involving an adoption, give us a call. call from St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email family at kfuo.org. Now, Jan, whenever before we took our break, we were talking about who was going to, I guess, help raise this child, and we also were going on this child, if it doesn't have two parents, how is this so, I guess it's not uncommon anymore for that to happen. Why is this significant?
Well, I think that it is our media and our society in many ways are more accepting of single parents raising their children. When we started this, we talked about adoption 20, 30, 50 years ago. And in those days, there was a stigma attached to being a single parent, a single woman raising a child. And, you know, in many ways, thank goodness that that stigma is no longer there, because our children are healthier for that. But at the same time, there are some situations where having two parents can be beneficial for that child.
Absolutely. I can think of so many instances where my own children, maybe they don't listen to mom quite as well in the discipline area. But when dad steps in and uses that voice, that authoritative voice, it just seems to work better.
And then sometimes it's just hearing a different voice, so that if dad's been with them for the weekend because you had to travel on business, you're coming back, it's like, oh, she's back, I'm going to listen this time. It's just a different voice. So frequently will have a different effect. You hear it different.
Right. Another question on this brochure says that, who will help raise this child? Do you think this is something girls or young women fail to think out?
You know, I think that all of us sort of just look at the immediate. And one of the pieces behind this specific brochure was, let's think about what the future will hold. So that if I have a health emergency, who's going to be there for me? Who's going to be taking care of my child when I'm not in that home? I know that many parents are so concerned about who's going to be watching that child when I'm not here. What if you don't have good role models around? What if you don't have anybody, even a bad person, to step in? You know, that's what adoption can bring to the equation, is a bigger community and something perhaps more stable and more safe for your child. So it's a good question to ask.
And it's tough for any parent, even with grandparents or aunts and uncles that are close by. Everyone is busy, and you may need help to run to the store or take one child to a practice and what to do with the other one. So there's always help that's needed. And yes, I think that does need to be, I guess, thought out ahead of time of how will this work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, number 7 asks, will parenting this child deprive your other children of necessities? You want to comment on that?
It was interesting. I was talking to a social worker this morning, and one of the things she said is that this little guy that she's working with was like, you saying to their mom, you've had trouble taking care of us, and now there's another baby. And he's angry about that. You know, all of us want to do more for our kids. We never think we do enough. But are you prepared to parent the kids that you have? And is there a better way to look at your resources? So it's, again, a good decision to look at for your future and for all of the children that you're parenting.
Yeah, and it just turns out to be not fair for that, for all of the children. They're just not given enough attention or love or anything. It's just there's only so much that one person can do for all of these children.
And children get that concept of fairness. I mean, adults can sort of intellectually take care of that question, but a kid will look at you and say, it's not fair.
Right.
And, you know, that can make a big difference in their attitude towards you and how they're perceiving life. So, again, something to look for.
Absolutely. The next one is a big one, finances. And can you even afford this child? Does a high school girl have a true grasp on the cost of childcare, food, clothing? I mean, the list just goes on and on of the expenses involved with having a child.
It does go on. And, again, one of the things that we do when we're talking with a girl is, you know, have you priced diapers lately? Do you know what a can of formula costs? Do you know how long a can of formula will last and how long your child has to stay on that formula? You know, depending on where she is and what she's thinking of, it may even involve, let's get a grocery list and go to the store and just price that out. Let's set up a layette. What would it cost? Because you can't leave the hospital without a car seat. You're going to need some kind of diapers, and if you're at all conscious of the environment, you know, you want to make sure that you're making good choices. What's it going to be like? How is that going to, how are you going to get that money? WIC, TANF, it's money that can assist, but it is limited, and it is time limited as well. And it's not a whole lot of money. We have mothers where we take necessities to them because at the end of the month, it can be really difficult to make ends meet. We've had one mother who actually cried because at Christmas, one of the donations from the church, they did a canned goods drive for us. And there were a lot of lotions and bath products in there. We took one of the bubble baths to a birth mom that we were working with, and she actually cried because she's used to getting things for her kids, but she's not used to getting things for herself.
Wow. And, you know, talking about, you know, how much diapers cost, how much formula costs, that makes me think of all of the even unexpected things. I remember with our first child trying to plan out. When you have a brand new child, you can't plan out. I would try to think, okay, this is how much it's going to cost for diapers. Well, little did I know that, no, you don't change the diaper maybe six times a day. Sometimes it could be six times an hour whenever
exactly.
They're an infant. And you go through them very quickly, especially at first. You just never know. Same with formula. They have a spit-up incident. They may need another bottle because they're hungry. So there's just so many things that you just don't think of that they are very costly.
And then how do you keep all those outfits clean? Because it costs money to do the wash. And if you don't have a washer at home and you have to go to the laundromat, I mean, it just keeps going on and on. And, you know, bringing reality to the situation is one of the things that we try to do when we work with a woman who is facing this kind of choice.
Right. Well, number nine on your list is culture and identity. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
You know, one of the things that some of the women that we work with are, one of their questions may be, well, nobody wants my baby. Nobody, how are you going to find somebody who is going to parent my baby? And so one of the things that we do is try to bring that perspective home and say, one of the things that we do when we work with adoptive families is talk to them about how they're going to protect and nurture that child's individuality, respect their culture, and help them develop an identity that's consistent with the gifts that God's given them by having you as their birth mother. So that, again, it's a question to process.
Absolutely. And number 10, I found quite interesting. It says, to list the pros and cons of both, I guess, adopting or keeping this child. And it suggests writing lists of pros and cons. How should they do this?
Well, I think that one of the important things to do is to have a pen and paper so that you can just put it down. How many times do we go to the cabinet and remember, my gosh, what did I come here for? Was I looking for pasta or was it for a spice? And actually putting it down involves more of your processes, helps you remember things, makes it more real. So putting it down in paper so that when you feel sadness, because as you've pointed out, adoption is a wonderful thing, but it also is a very difficult decision. So when you're faced with those, oh my God, what was I thinking of, you can pull it out and you can say, this is why I made this choice, because I wanted something different for my child, or because I need to complete my education. And, you know, there are some cons. There is the grief that's going to be associated with making an adoption plan. You're not going to be in that child's life 24/7 as you would be if you were parenting. So actually putting that down and saying, okay, if I'm making a decision strictly based on what makes sense for me and what makes sense for my child, and those can be two very different things, and that's one of the comments that we work with them on. Is it for you, or is it in the best interest of the child? And then being able to go back and say, okay, this is why I did this. This is why I thought this was the best plan for me to make. And, you know, there are times when that may be part of the legacy of a child for whom an adoption plan's been made. You know, this is what my birth mom thought about when she made this plan. She loved me enough to, even though there are 10 reasons why she didn't want to do it, she looked at the 10 reasons why it might be better for me. And that's an incredible gift.
Definitely is. Okay, listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Call from St. Louis, 314-505-7850. And outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. And also want to remind you that we'll have a link on our website to Lutheran Family and Children's Services. Now, there are many benefits of working with this organization whenever you're considering an adoption. Jan, maybe you can go through some of those benefits of someone that would have you help them.
Sure, I would be happy to. One of the things is, you know that we're around. You know that we have been here for close to forever, 145 years.
That is a long time.
We are here. We're going to be here. This morning, for example, I had a call from a woman who was doing research because her ancestors, her family, had been in our orphanage in 1903-1904. And one of the things that she was searching for is, how could that happen? They were so young when they were placed. How could that have been the best thing for these children? So the good thing was is that she actually had a place to call. If you don't use an agency, you may not have a place to call. And in many situations, one of the things that Lutheran does is work with families who don't have a place to call to help them figure out what resources they may have and to try to find them information so that they can figure it out. Some of the other things that may be beneficial is that we have worked with our adoptive families. We know what is out there. We have worked with them to find the reasons that they're doing this. We've asked them many of the same questions that we're asking our birth parents. And we are doing an assessment to make sure that they've thought about these things and they actually understand what that means for them and for their child. We have professional staff. Our workers are so committed to the services that they provide and to the clients and the women that we work with. And we put a big emphasis on being licensed, being accredited, and making sure that our professional licensures are maintained so that we do a lot of education of our staff so that then they can share that information with the people that they work with. We're there for the ongoing contact. We all live in families where not everybody gets along all the time, or some comment that somebody says may cause a lot of anxiety within the family. We are there then to help negotiate those tough times. We're there to make sure that everything that's being done is followed, is within the law and within good ethical practices. You know, again, is it too good to be true? Because if it is, then it probably isn't true. We're there for the long haul, as I stated. We work with people who have been adopted, with birth mothers, with adoptive family. You know, once you're part of Lutheran family, we say, you're never not part of Lutheran family. We are there for all the time. We do have those permanent files. We're able to go back and help you get that information when you need that. We have licensed foster homes. Some of our foster homes have been helping us, and this is their ministry. They've been around for 30, 35 years, providing neutral and yet very loving care to children while their parents negotiate some really, really difficult situations. And then if something comes up where your family hits a crisis, we are there again to help figure out how to get to that next step. Do we need to help negotiate something? Do you need health information? Has your family hit upon a crisis? Can we help you through that? So those are just some of the benefits of working with Lutheran Family and Children's Services.
What would you say are some of the most rewarding experiences that you've had over the years with helping families?
You know, it can be as simple as talking with a person who's been adopted, who says, I love my family. This was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I want my birth parent to know that. It can be looking at a birth family that was really struggling, making some really, really difficult choices, and maybe sometimes in the past making some choices that were not necessarily the best choices.
Right.
And seeing them have the strength and the knowledge to be able to change the way things go. A little while ago you said, you know, you can change the dynamics of your life, and you can change those for your child, and that is a beautiful thing to see. You know, sometimes, depending on your day, you can just feel rewarded that everybody showed up on time for their appointments, or showed up for their appointments, because so many of the families that we work with who are in crisis because of their pregnancy or their parenting challenges, they are living in such crisis that it's really difficult for us to understand that, so that just the fact that they showed up when they were supposed to show up is a great celebration.
That's great. Can you maybe tell us some of the things that Lutheran Family and Children's Services offers? What are some of those services?
We offer pregnancy counseling. So we can help women go through this and help make some choices based on their life and what's best for them. And we do that in a very non-judgmental, supportive way. So that's a good thing. We provide foster care in several ways. So say a woman is having some challenges parenting, or she is pregnant and she is struggling with her 2-year-old or her 3-year-old. We can provide crisis foster care. So, for example, we've had some women who have come to us and they're having housing situations, or they've lost their job and they really want to get out there and they want to be able to focus on, I need a new job, but I can't do it while I'm parenting my 2-year-old. Can you help us for that time frame? And then we also provide foster care and supportive services to families who are in the state system, the traditional foster care. So we do that. We provide home studies, assessment, support, post-placement, supervision for adoptions. We help grandparents or other relatives who are looking at guardianship as another custody alternative to help make sure that the children that they're concerned about are protected. We can help step-parents if they're looking at adoption. Just how do we approach this? How do we talk to our child about difficult times in their family? We have counselors who provide children, family, and adult counseling in individuals or family units to address life issues as they come. We have a child care center in North City to help families with child care issues. We also have counselors in schools. We have a very active school counseling program, and many of our counselors are active in Lutheran schools throughout the greater St. Louis area, as well as in several of the public schools. So just having counselors in schools so that a kid has a place to go if they're in trouble or if they need somebody to talk to.
Well, that is wonderful. There's so many different areas then that you all help people out. I think that is great, and I wasn't aware of all of those different things that you all do. One thing that I found very interesting, the well-known people who've adopted or birth parents as well as adopted parents, I'll just go through a few on the list that I had no idea. Eleanor Roosevelt was adopted. So was Bo Diddley. Singer Faith Hill was adopted. Poet and writer Edgar Allan Poe. There's many more, some other people you may have heard of. These people have adopted someone. Actress Diane Keaton, Tom Cruise, Kirstie Alley, Magic Johnson, Michelle Pfeiffer, Meg Ryan, even Walt Disney. So I found that very interesting. Is there any other names that you want to add that I didn't mention?
Well, as I was getting on our data system this morning, I was on the Internet, and one of the, you know, the scrolling through pictures was a picture of Jane Fonda on the red carpet, and the topic was Jane Fonda talks about her adoption. She adopted transracially, and the reason that she had given on the Internet this morning for not sharing that and not really being out there about adoption like some of our celebrities are is because she was trying to protect her child.
Wonderful. Well, listen, thank you so much, Jan. We appreciate you being on our show. Thank you to all of our listeners for listening to Faith and Family at KFUO. Join us back on Monday. We're going to be talking about finances and how to manage our money. Have a great weekend. We'll be back at 11 o'clock on Monday. KFUO, we're the messenger of good news.